going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Oh, good morning, folks. I know it's almost the afternoon. Hope you're heading out to Jazz Fest. If you're not listening to Draft Fest coverage here on WWL, our recap show on Sunday. Also, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and draft analyst Mike Dettillier will have their draft second guess at the Silver Slipper Casino tomorrow. Definitely worth the drive to the beautiful Bay St. Louis, Mississippi area. Grab your Saints crew and make it a day of it. Meet up with the Cajun Cannon and Mike D at the Slipper, your host on the Coast. Talk Saints football, size up the draft and the competition in the NFC South and NFL, plus celebrate football. That's draft second guest tomorrow 4 to 8 here on Saints Radio WWL. I do know the great Archie Manning will be joining the guys on that show, plus plenty of top tier analysis that they had a little bit more time to digest this 9-person draft.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear what Archie Manning has to say, because Tyler Shuck went to the Manning Passing Academy twice. He actually said Archie texts him regularly, so I'm sure he has some strong feelings about Tyler as a player.
Our encyclopedia of football, Mike Dettillier, was able to just go like scroll through his phone, found the picture at the Manning Passing Academy, was like, boom, here's Archie and Tyler Shuck.
I did like the detail that he said that like they always have the signs that say their name, and underneath in parentheses, they had to spell it like S-H-U-C-K so he could get it. You know, I was talking, one thing before we go to the UDFAs, Tyler was on the call with you guys, and he said that his name means like a little shaggy dog in Scottish. But when I looked it up, you know, I think there's a few different meanings for the term Shuck. And I don't blame him for going with the one he did. But I think that's an Irish
with the spelling of H-O-U-G-H, are you talking about S-H-U-C-K?
No, it's S-H-O-U-G-H. It's like, it just means, it's pronounced Shuck. And yeah, there is one like a kind of Icelandic definition of that it's a little shaggy dog. And it's like, yeah, cool. That's cute. I'm a dog guy. It works. But if you Google it, there's also kind of a secondary definition that's Irish or Scottish that is like a ditch filled with water. Like a water-filled ditch. It's like, yeah, okay.
A shuck.
And which is if I asked you what do you think a shuck is?
Like ditch.
A little ditch with water in it. Kind of sounds right. But, you know, I don't blame him for going with the dog. Right, I don't blame him for being like, yeah, it means a little shaggy dog. Oh, yeah, it means a little ditch with water. Yeah, I mean, one sounds better than the other. So I just find it interesting.
Yeah, you know my family.
Yeah, he said it. He told you guys like at one point, he was like, maybe I'll just change it and spell it the way it sounds. Like, yeah, he's like, I'll stick with it. It's endearing.
Looking at, you mentioned the Saints undrafted free agents they've signed. You can check that out. Jeff's got them up at WWL.com, his UDFA free agent tracker. And we're a little bit busy. Right after the draft, these names started pouring out.
Yeah, so it's a smaller class than usual. The Saints have not sent out an official list yet. So a lot of these, you know, some of them are confirmed, some of them are unconfirmed. But it's interesting. Usually they'll have sent one out by now. So, it sounds like they're still working. I do, you know, it's 11 players right now that we know about. Usually it's around 16, 17. So maybe there's still some in the works. What I was telling Charlie, you know, they came out a little slower than in the past. And I think part of that is, you know, what are you typically doing when you're done with your draft picks? You're calling UDFAs, like you're getting that list sorted out. Well, the Saints, up until the last 10 picks of the draft, had 2 picks to make. So I don't think they got as early a start on the UDFA market as, or like, remember the year they drafted Adam Trautman? They traded the whole back half of their board. They spent all of day three working on UDFAs, and then were like, you know what? Tommy Stevens, he wants to go to the Panthers, but we want him. So we're going to actually trade up and go get him. Anyway, so all that is to say there are 11 names on this list. There could be more coming out. This is not a complete list from the Saints yet. But the names we have, so we're just going to run
I have one already just because of his nickname, quote unquote.
Moochie?
Yeah, Moochie.
Yeah, I had a feeling it was going to be Moochie. So we can start with Moochie. So we got Kelvonte Moochie Dixon. He's a wide receiver out of SMU. And, you know, one thing Mickey Loomis said is, you know, they were looking at wide receivers in the draft. It's not that they didn't want wide receivers. It's that, you know, you're on the board, you see a guy like, oh, we like that guy, when and he's about 10 picks away, doesn't get to him. And then suddenly you're changing your strategy. They didn't trade forward. They didn't trade back. First time in 13 years they haven't done that. So, you know, I think there's a wide receiver coming in. Whether, you know, there's two in this class, but I think a guy like Keenan Allen suddenly becomes, now that you did not land a wide receiver in the draft, suddenly becomes a bigger option. And one of the things, like, I understand people, there's a lot of names, like Nick Nash was still on the board at, you know, in the seventh round, but if you're drafting a wide receiver in the seventh round, it's like, okay, is he going to make your roster? Because these late round picks, you really need them to be special teams contributors, and wide receiver is a position that can be difficult to project to special teams because they are not a guy, like, can they make a tackle? Maybe. You have a 6'5 wide receiver who can run down the field. Can he be a gunner? Can he be a jammer?
Right.
Maybe.
If he doesn't have the ball in his hands running it, right. How much use does he have to
And these were star, even the seventh round picks in the NFL were probably star receivers in college, didn't play special teams. So it can be tough to project, and I think that's why the Saints often don't go for these kind of interesting wide receiver names, and they bring them in as UDFA. So, like you said, Moochie Dixon out of SMU.
Moochie. Can't wait to hear how he got that nickname.
Yeah. Easton Kilty, offensive lineman out of Kansas State. Then you had Torricelli Simpkins, another interior offensive lineman out of South Carolina. Marcus Yarns, running back out of Delaware. He's an interesting one.
Okay.
Yeah, highly productive runner at Delaware. You know, you don't get a lot of hype at Delaware, but, you know, it's a fun name. You know, I saw the name pop up, and I initially read it as Marcus Yams, which, you know, the R and the N kind of merged together after about 9 years in the draft room. But it is Marcus Yarns. Again, you know, 2,344 yards, 23 touchdowns on 342 carries, another 64 catches for 812 yards and 11 touchdowns. So, you know, a really intriguing skill set there.
Yeah, with Marcus Yarns, once again, the running back class this year was so loaded that you would see, you know, top 20s, and you're thinking all these guys could get drafted, yeah. Right? Marcus Yarns was one of those guys that was kind of in the back end of some top 20 lists that you would see for running back rankings. When, like you mentioned, Jeff, super, super productive. And it's kind of interesting that the Saints obviously told you with Devin Neal and now adding Marcus Yarns as UDFA as well, that they were looking for some ready-to-play kind of productive guys in college. So the running back room needed some help.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a year where I could see a UDFA running back making it. You know, that's not true every year.
I'll have to look up his measurables. I don't think he's the biggest guy, and that's probably why he went undrafted.
Yeah, he's 5'11", 193, but he had 4'4", 5'40". But no, I mean, like, in most years, you'd be like, it's going to be a tough nut to crack at running back. I don't know. If Kendre Miller doesn't show it, if he comes into camp, he gets hurt again, I could think you cut him. Like, I don't think he's year two for a third round pick should be guaranteed unless something crazy happens. Year three, no. Like,
agreed.
Your guaranteed money is gone. You know, this is a new coaching staff. If he doesn't hack it, he's done.
Yeah, we'll see what the attitude is with Kendre Miller because besides the injuries, we knew there was a little bit of a riff with head coach Dennis Allen at the time.
Right, so really you're in there competing with, you know, Alvin's obviously the guy.
For sure.
Then Devin Neal is a sixth-round pick who, you know, I think he's going to be a contributor, but who knows how much. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, so if you're Marcus Yarns, this is a good, like, I'm not surprised Marcus Yarns was like, okay, yeah, that's a good spot for me. I have a chance to compete for a job there. So anyway, that'll be an interesting one to watch. Linebacker, outside linebacker out of Rutgers, Tyreem Powell, 6'5", 239.
Scarlet, you know, Knight pride.
Guys, yeah, New Jersey. So there's going to be a lot of outside linebacker questions. Like, do you have enough? Do you need additional pieces? So it's an interesting one. Dallas Beanham, defensive back out of South Dakota State. Second year in a row, they've brought in a UDFA out of South Dakota State. The other one was Isaiah Stallbird, who was a safety linebacker that they kind of converted to safety. So I'm sure they know each other well. Omari Thomas, defensive tackle out of Tennessee, you know, just building up that interior line, 6'4", 325. Elliot Davison, safety out of UTSA, you know, the Fighting Marcus Davenports. They also have a tryout guy from UTSA, so they clearly were looking at the Roadrunners.
Beep, beep.
Beep, beep. Jasheen Davis, edge rusher out of Wake Forest, 6'3", 270, kind of outside linebacker. Chris Tyree, running back, wide receiver out of Virginia. I'm kind of interested to see whether they bring him in as a running back or a wide receiver. He did both, and that's going to be, I would expect, wide receiver. But he was more productive as a running back in college. He's 5'10", 190, 200, his college stats, 106 catches, 1,081 yards, 7 touchdowns, then 277 rushes, 1,204 yards, 8 touchdowns in 61 games. So very much was a running back wide receiver. Not exactly a Travis Hunter, but, you know, you get the idea. Dual threat guy. And then the final one, and maybe the most intriguing one, and I kept him for the end because it's fascinating. James Burnup, punter, Alabama. This dude is 6'6", 236.
Yeah.
Jeez.
If he doesn't make it as a punter, he can be a professional wrestler. Like, what the heck? He's bigger than most of their edge rushers. I mean, at least taller.
Jordan Fiegel, the morning show producer for Tommy Tucker, he texted me when that happened. Roll damn punter, legit one of the best in school history. So, oh, wow. Hey, we got one of the Tide's best punters all time.
And I wouldn't say Matthew Haybaugh is exactly entrenched. You know, like he kind of went down the wire with Lou Headley. I thought he had some nice moments. He put a ton of punts inside the 20, but, you know, I think I've been asking for years for the NFL to separate punts inside the 20 and punts inside the 10, because there's a big difference between a punt to the 18 and a punt to the 8. And I feel like, you know, I think Matt Haybaugh led the NFL in punts inside the 20, but so many of them were like to the 15 or the 17. And it's like, I want punts to the 6. I want punts to the 5, because he didn't have that kind of field flipping leg. And the same thing, he had a better leg than Lou Headley, but still didn't have like the, you know, you see some of these punters come out and they're hitting rockets. And missiles. Darren Rizzi liked him, but there were points last year where I thought Darren Rizzi was gonna throw him out of the bus on the way home. Like, you go back to that game in New York, Alvin Kamara had to come up and be like, Darren, calm down. He's the punter. I didn't realize you'd go off on a punter like that. I think, you know, that's going to be a punter competition. You're going to have a kicker competition. So for the third year in a row, the specialists are going to be fascinating to watch because Charlie Smith's still around.
Right.
So, and he's another guy who's like big dude. And it's just going to be funny. Like, Matt Haybaugh's kind of slight of frame. So you're going to have a kicker who's a little tiny guy facing a kicker who's a big, big burly guy in Blake Grubby and Charlie Smith. And you're going to have a punter who's kind of a little slight of frame guy going against another punter who's a big, massive guy. Both Australians. So, you know.
6'6 punter, man.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to help you with fakes, but if he has to go out there and make a tackle, I feel pretty good about it.
Sure, you could do the tush push with him.
Maybe. Maybe he's the new Taysom Hill. No, 6'6", I saw that and I was like, that can't be right. I thought it was a typo, and I had to double check it, but 6'6", 236.
Jeff, was Yarns at the Senior Bowl? I know he was a Senior Bowl invite.
I'm not sure.
He got invited to the Combine, the Senior Bowl, and East-West Shrine Bowl. So all three of the processes pre-draft. So, but
it wouldn't surprise me because half of the Saints, the players the Saints brought in,
they love the Senior Bowl. They every single year they just adore the Senior Bowl.
But yes, he was at the Senior Bowl.
Okay, yeah. Yarns is a really interesting one for me, guys. I know I talked a little bit about him earlier, but he's kind of like the reason he probably went undrafted is because Delaware, like, smaller school. Also not the biggest, bulkiest guy in the world at the running back position, but he's got good hands. Some of the strengths and weaknesses about running inside the tackles is not necessarily one of his strengths, but could be a weapon as like a third down pass catching back potentially. That's the one that definitely jumped off the page to me. I know that they also got Neal in the sixth round, but a pair of running backs that, and listen, as you mentioned, Jeff, Kendra Miller's job is nowhere near solidified entering his third year. I mean, he is one of the biggest question marks on the roster entering like all the offseason camps.
Right. You wanted to believe that the running back position was set with a young guy still in the mix here, but we just don't know his availability.
Third round pick, right. You know, and the thing is, like, and I'm not saying like the Saints aren't high on Devin Neal. I'm sure they are. But the difference between a sixth round pick and a UDFA is not that crazy. Like, you'll see sixth round picks not make the roster.
Sure.
Now, you'd like them to make the roster, but they're not a lock to make a roster. So if Yarns comes out and is the better player in camp, you could displace that guy. You know, you as a team, you always want, there's always going to be an inclination to be like, we were right in the draft. We don't want to immediately come out and say like, well, we made the wrong pick. But a guy like Rick Nelson comes to mind, you know, fourth round pick out of Florida State, didn't even make the roster. So it's like, you got to earn it. If you're a day three picks have to earn it. It's not guaranteed.
Yeah, I would even say, you know, your earlier round picks, even second, third round, you'd have to do something pretty dramatic, though, to get Cup, but nothing set in stone.
I don't think it's –
You'd still want to keep him around to try and
there's
develop.
There's like a 0.3% chance. I can't even think off the top of my head of a day two or one pick not making the roster. It's almost unheard of.
What was the year that the Saints ended up cutting Pittman and kept around Pierre Thomas? Yeah, right.
Yeah, that was his second year, I think.
Okay.
But
right, he didn't last long.
Yeah. That would have been like 04.
Yeah, if you use a top 100 pick in the draft on a player, you do not want to – like, it had to be some kind of extraordinary circumstance.
Yeah, you'd imagine
maybe legal,
attitude or
legal
right,
issues.
Something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't be any kind of, oh, he stinks on the field. We just completely miscounted this guy. You're like, oh, well, you liked him for some reason.
Yeah.
So you're not going to just give up on him
it
right off the bat.
It was 07. He was – Antonio Pittman was a fourth-round pick at Ohio State.
Fourth round. Okay, so yeah. It wasn't even that high.
I mean, but fourth round picks, like, it happened. Like, there have been times that fourth round picks don't make the roster. Rick
sure.
Nelson.
I thought he was a third at least, but that was my fault.
Yeah.
Looking at the, we've been talking about the UDFAs, undrafted free agents for the Saints. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get into some of the Kellen Moore audio talking about our picks. I see that finger up. What you got, Jeff?
It wasn't Rick Nelson. It was, it's going to bug. Oh, Rick Leonard. Rick Leonard.
Right.
I kept saying
the
Rick
offensive
Nelson.
Lineman from Florida State.
And what kind of draft? What round was he?
He was a fourth rounder. So, like, I'm remembering the right guy. I just called him Nelson instead of Leonard.
I didn't remember his name. I remembered, like, the player.
Yeah. Florida State.
Rick
I got
something.
That right.
Taking a break here on our Sunday Draft Fest recap. You can join us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. That's 504-260-1870. Stepping away, and we'll be right back after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into our WWL Sunday Draft Fest recap show. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, Jeff Nowak, and Cullen Steele with you till 1 o'clock today, and then we'll have LSU baseball at 2, the rubber match against those Tennessee Volunteers. Want to remind everybody of the Saints' 9 picks in this year's class. You had Kelvin Banks Jr., Tyler Shuck, Vernon Broughton, Jonas Sanker, Danny Stutzman, Quincy Riley, Devin Neal, say it for me, Charlie.
Maliki Matavau.
Thank you. Maliki Matavau. And Fidel Diggs. I look at that name with Maliki, and it's just intimidating.
It's not too bad. Like,
I don't want to get it wrong, too, and I start panicking.
I messed it up for the 6 o'clock news report yesterday, but then I just did it again, and I just got it. I'm like, oh, that's how you say it.
The Saints even sent out for us the proper pronunciation, and I'm still like, I just look at it.
You got to remember.
That first name just makes me freeze.
Jonas Sanker.
I know, I said Jonas.
Like Jonas Valanciunas. That's the easiest way to remember.
JV, I'll just remember.
Matavau is actually pretty easy once you say it a few
times. Matavau.
It's kind of fun, actually.
Remember to go through it, right.
It's not like Giannis, right?
That was like way back when the Saints had taken Haloi Kakaha. I know a lot of folks were intimidated by that, but after doing it so
you
many times,
it.
I'm like, right. It looks a lot worse than just saying it, right?
Yeah, if I can learn how to say Giannis Antetokounmpo, I think I can handle this one.
Exactly.
We just went through those draft picks for the Saints on day 1 through 3 for the black and gold. Head coach Kellen Moore addressed the media on the first two nights of the draft. Here's what he had to say on drafting Kelvin Banks Jr.
He's everything you want your organization to represent. The player, the person, three-year starter. She's just turning 21 here next month. You meet him, you quickly are gravitated to him as a person, and you put on the film, and he gets after people. You know, he moves people in the run game. He's a great pass protector. He just does an excellent job.
We talked about the position versatility for Banks on the offensive line, and Moore was asked by the media how he feels about Banks possibly fitting in at that guard spot.
Certainly feel like he's got the flexibility to play anywhere on the offensive line as far as, you know, the tackle spots, the guard spots, and we got other guys who are flexible too. I think, we feel really good about this, got Trevor, we went and signed Dylan. We got a lot of depth in this group that allows us to have some flexibility there.
I did think it was interesting there when, asked about playing guard. He did bring up the name Trevor Penning there, possibly.
Yeah, Dylan Raidens, who they picked up in the offseason.
You said Raidens right.
Yes. Well, that was the one that was really weird.
No, it was a draft night. Mike Dettillier, Bobby Aber were going back and forth on the last name.
Like Raidens or whatever? It's spelled like Raidens.
Right, but it's Raidens, right.
Yeah, Raidens. Anyways.
We'll say it a whole bunch of different times, too.
I'm going to stay out of this
one. The left guard competition is going to be a really interesting one because, depending on what they decide to do with Kelvin, if they keep him at left tackle and move Tyler back to right tackle, his natural position that he played at Oregon State, like, who's going to be the left guard? Or like, yeah. Jeff, you had brought it up when we talked with you last week. Are they going to throw Penning at guard, or are they just going to keep him as a backup right tackle?
It's, you know, I think people are underestimating that. It's not as simple as just saying, I go play guard now.
Yeah, jumping right? from position to position to position for three straight years.
Like, what if he's significantly worse at guard? Well, you know, like, what if you can't play him at guard and your best five? Again, it's about getting your best five on the field. What if Trevor is a better right tackle than he is a left guard, and Kelvin is a better left guard than he is a right tackle? Like, and I think people are just assuming, like, that's the only thing they can do is move Trevor to guard and keep and move Tally to right tackle and Kelvin to left tackle. And here's the thing, Trevor's on the final year of his contract. So, you know, it might be the best case scenario for this season to do that. And when you hear Kellen talk, like, the thing he says and the thing I believe him is what they like about this offensive line is they feel like they have options. You know, and you went to the last few years and you felt like you were locked into, like, oh, man, I don't know. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do this. And this year, more than any other year, really, you feel like you can do a lot of things. Now, what I will say is Kellen Moore is coming off a year with the Eagles that they went out and got a first-round pick of Mekhi Becton and said, we don't have a spot for you at tackle, but we can play you at guard. And they threw him at guard, and he played well, and he picked up a pretty decent contract from the Chargers, a two-year, $20 million contract to play guard. So, you know, it's worked for him before. So I wouldn't be surprising if that is a hope. But at the end of the day, no one in that Saints building has ever seen Trevor Penning play guard. He's never got reps at guard, right? Correct. He's never done it in his career. He's only played tackle. He had never played right tackle before last year. So, I don't know. We'll see. But at the
That's
end
like
of the
I
day.
Saying, oh, Saint, Jeff, you were our Saints sideline reporter. We're going to go have you do the sidelines for the World Cup match or something.
I thought you meant like do play-by-play or something like that.
Right, there you go. Just totally switching things up. Right, you're in the booth for Haas this week.
Yeah, it's a different position. It's a lot different than going from left to right because you're still playing the same position. You're just reversing everything. Your responsibilities are different. The calls are different. What you're trying to do is a lot different. You know, you can be physical. You have to pull. When's the last time you saw Trevor pull across the line? Like, he didn't do that a lot. So, and he did it a little. But, you know, it's a big question mark. And so, I don't know. I think people are making it out a lot simpler than it's actually going to be.
Yeah, just plug him in there.
Yeah, let's change two positions from people who played last year. Anyway.
Kelvin Banks Jr., the Saints' ninth overall selection in the NFL draft. 6'5", 315. What does Coach Kellen Moore, what was he impressed with Banks when looking at him?
Certainly when you combine the situation, he's a three-year starter. He's really young. He's about to turn 21. For him to just hop in there and compete at that high of a level in, you know, arguably some of the toughest games in college football that you're going to play, you know, just shows the player and the person that he is.
Coach Kellen Moore talked about Moore Banks' resume and why he loves it.
The beauty of him going and playing 3 years at Texas, you go see him play some big-time opponents. And, you know, there's a bunch of weeks where he's playing guys that, you know, were drafted today and they'll be drafted tomorrow. And so when you go watch him play those games, you're seeing him play guys that are going to be playing on Sunday. And so a bunch of games come out. He's one of those guys when you play there, week in and week out, he's battling some of the best. And so it showed up consistently.
That is definitely one of the things I like about Kelvin is the competition he's
battled.
Amen to that, right.
In two different conferences.
It's not like, well, it was at a lesser school. So.
Right, like even if it was like, oh, he's been in the SEC the last 2 years, you're like, yeah, okay, but he played the same offenses a few years in a row. Like he had to go from, you know, the Big Ten to the SEC. Like that's not easy.
Right.
Did y'all see the tweet? I think the Falcons put it out there, or maybe a Falcons account. Jalen Walker going against Kelvin Banks.
Yeah.
And Kelvin holds up for like a full 5 seconds, and Quinn Ewers is just a statue.
Like Jalen got the sack.
He got the sack.
Yeah.
But is it really a one rep?
I mean, Kelvin kind of put him into the dirt. And like, okay, Quinn, what are you doing back there? And, you know, maybe that was the rep that got Quinn Ewers all the way to the seventh round.
Yeah, seventh round dart throw for Miami. Yeah. I mean, Quinn Ewers, talk about a weird.
Apparently, he was Michael Pratt. Apparently, that's how teams viewed him, is the same as Michael Pratt.
He comes in as like this supernova prospect.
He was a perfect prospect.
A perfect prospect.
Like a 1,000.
And then he just has a kind of mediocre, middling collegiate career, and he declares for the draft anyways because Texas was just like, yeah, we're going to Arch next year. I'm like, we don't really want you back. Yeah. And so he declares for the draft instead of staying in college and trying to go to another school, and he gets picked in the seventh round.
Yeah, that was the post I saw was like, other than Shedeur Sanders, the biggest story is that Quinn Ewers should have gone into the transfer portal instead of the NCAA.
Really? Right? Probably should have. But it was just kind of funny, like, you know, the Falcons taking Jalen Walker, they're trying to get some ribs off on Kelvin Banks, and I think Kelvin won the rep, so yeah. It is what it is.
That's the weird thing, right?
The fun thing about watching Kelvin's tape, the level of competition. If you saw Steve Sarkisian's comments right after he got drafted.
Glowing reviews,
the
right.
The freshman year for Kelvin Banks, one of the first major matchups that he had was going against Alabama, Will Anderson, Dallas Turner. Two first-round picks. And that's just an example. Like, he
guys,
against,
he's going to play in the NFL.
Yeah, right. Edge rushers, NFL edge rushers that you see in the SEC. And Mike talked about this during the college football season. Every single week. Same thing with like Will Campbell, the left tackle for LSU. They were going against NFL defensive linemen. Every single SEC team had one, at least one, if not multiple. Like, look at Mississippi State, or sorry, Ole Miss, who had like five of them taken. So it's just an example, but Kelvin Banks battle tested.
Yeah, right? I've seen people say like, well, they did this with Trevor Penning. And like, no, I didn't. This isn't what they did with Trevor Penning. Trevor Penning won, first of all, was a 19th overall pick, which that's a way
people
different
said the
situation.
Same thing about Penning when they took Fuaga. Like, oh, he's a physical, right. You know, tackle. And like, Fuaga worked out fine. I mean, yeah. Penning obviously hasn't really worked out, but like people were all worried about the Fuaga pick because they were like, oh, it's Penning 2.0.
Well, the issue for Penning was the transition to NFL competition.
Correct.
Right? And that's the biggest difference to me. Is like, I don't wonder how Kelvin's going to hold up against NFL competition, because we've seen him do it for 3 years.
And then exactly. The poor thing with Penning, he dealt with foot injuries, and that's a nightmare for an offensive lineman.
Yeah, things just didn't go well, and I think pairing him with Doug Marrone was the worst possible developmental situation you could put him into.
Later, Doug.
He just was not there to develop a young player who needed someone to kind of handhold him a little bit, and that slowed his development down. I think, like you saw with John Benton last year, a guy who was a lot more prone to teaching and approached it more as a teacher than I think Doug did. And you saw him develop, you know, and yeah, I think he's not, he still has ways to go, but I think the way I feel about Trevor Penning right now is a lot different than the way I felt about him last year. And, you know, so he's a guy that's got to play somewhere, you know? So we'll see. Either way, like, I think the most likely scenario, as we just to kind of put a bin on this, I do think the most likely scenario, you move Talley to right tackle, you put Kelvin Banks at left tackle, and you put Penning at left guard, but I think people are underplaying that's not the only way they can do it. It's not the only scenario that works.
I was just going to say that's what Coach Kellen was basically saying. Like, they have options. Yeah. But I agree with you. I think that would be the best case scenario, is having Kelvin come in, be your left tackle, and moving Talley back to right tackle, and just knowing that you feel safe with both your bookends.
Hoodats, we've been talking about this NFL draft class for the Saints. What are your thoughts? You can sound off Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line 504-260-1870. We're going to take a break, come back with more Kellen Moore audio, so stay tuned right after this on WWL Saints Radio. We're doing our WWL Draft Fest Sunday recap show. We just talked about round one's pick, Kelvin Banks Jr., now dipping into the day two selections. In round two, we had the quarterback out of Louisville, Tyler Shuck, Texas defensive lineman Vernon Broughton, and also Virginia safety Jonas Sanker. And Coach Kellen Moore recapped his day two picks.
Starting with Tyler Shuck, obviously, you know, we're really, really excited about the opportunity to get Tyler. 32 starts. He faced a lot of adversity through his career. Battled through, obviously, multiple unfortunate injuries that kind of took him through a navigating process. But, you know, as we went through this process, just the more touching points we had with Tyler, the more impressed we got. He was a guy who went through this whole process. I think it's unique when you have a guy who went through the Senior Bowl, did the whole entire combine, went through the visits. Scott went out there and saw him at Louisville. We had a 30 visit with him. Every interaction just, you know, really enforced, you know, the player that he was. And so as you go through this QB process, obviously never easy decisions with that. Just felt like he was a really good quarterback. He was ready. He's prepared. Obviously he's been through a lot in a good way. And so he's ready to compete in our quarterback room as it plays itself out. going to Vernon, obviously just a phenomenal kid. Just the energy, the juice that he brings. You know, our chance to go out there for their pro day, we had a chance to kind of connect with a lot of those Texas guys, and obviously this is our second one that we got. So, you know, he played behind a lot of premier defensive linemen when he was there, and so as a result, he kind of had to be patient. And sometimes you credit these guys that you know, play the patient game, that kind of earn their opportunities on the field. And for him, obviously, it took a little while just as he waited his turn. But Bo and Terry had great relationships with him. Obviously, when you have people in-house who've invested with these guys, who spent a lot of time with them, huge advantage for us. His versatility on the defensive line, his ability to play in a number of positions, I think is going to be great for us. He's got length. He's got quickness. He can anchor. He's got good hands. You know, he'll have a chance definitely to compete with our interior defensive line group. And then Jonas Sanker. This guy's a 3-year starter at Virginia, special teams. He's a captain. He just does everything. And this guy is, for us, we just felt really, really fortunate to be sitting there late in that draft. There's a lot of DBs that were going off the board. And for him to still be there and available to us, you know, we're talking about him for a while. And so just really impressed by this guy. His play style, his instincts, his ability to, you know, his tackling ability is really, really impressive. His ability to play on the back end. You know, we're really fired up to have this guy. He'll obviously provide tremendous depth and add competition to the safety position there. So excited about all three. That was a big time day for us. We were really excited about it.
Kellen Moore recapping day two's picks there.
Yeah, you know, one guy we haven't talked about a lot is Jonas Sanker, and I think it's easy to overlook him because he was the final pick on a day where you took a quarterback and everyone's going to be talking about the quarterback, right?
Yeah, no matter. Even I felt bad we kind of let off talking about Tyler Shuck when he was a, you know, second-round pick. It wasn't the first-round pick.
What happens when you draft a quarterback.
Exactly. That QB gets all the attention.
When you draft a quarterback. And we're going to talk about Shedeur Sanders and that whole saga and, you know, the Mel Kiper crash out in the final hour. But, you know, Jonas Sanker is intriguing. I think people are going to really like Jonas when they get to know him. And he's a good example of, I go into the draft, I try not to have immediate, like, visceral reactions to any of the picks because, you know, I don't watch a lot of Virginia football. I don't know what I don't know about Jonas Sanker. But then you look at him and you see some of the hits he puts down. And he's a bigger dude. He's strong. Again, he came up playing eight-man football. We asked him, you know, were you recruited? Like, how did you end up at Virginia? And he said, like, there was a few plays in college or in high school that, like, they were such big hits and such big highlights that, like, recruits or scouts started being like, oh, look at this guy. Like, eight-man football? Like, how much time do you think scouts spend looking at eight-man football? Arena football without the arena. But there was one hit in high school. Like, we were like, what are some of your biggest hits? And he immediately was like, oh, it was one of my junior year. It was a running back going to the edge. I just took him out of his cleats, sent him back 4 yards. I found the clip. I tweeted the clip if you want to take a look
at it. Let's go.
But, no, I mean, I think in a Brandon Staley scheme, he wants to go too deep. He told us that. And I think that's significant. Like, you want too deep at basically every position. And, you know, in Brandon Staley's defense, you have this role called a star. You only have a nickel. Like, it's going to be this kind of terminology issue we're going to have over the next few months.
A little bit of a shift, right?
Trying to talk about Brandon Staley's defense and saying, yeah, he's the nickel corner. Well, they don't have a nickel.
Everyone's weird.
The star, which it's similar, but there are different responsibilities. You play a little more like a linebacker than a corner. And I think he fits perfectly into that. Now, is he going to play that as a rookie? Probably not. I think you're going to try to get Alante Taylor in that role. And as he told you, I think he expects to be in that role.
Right.
That kind of Jalen Ramsey role with the Rams or that Derwin James role with the Chargers. And I asked Kellen about that, if he saw him as that type of player. And he said, yeah. I mean, maybe not significantly as a rookie. He's probably going to be a core special teamer. But I think he has that skill set where you can play him a little closer to the line of scrimmage and have him be that rover who can cover, who can hit, who can take on a tight end, who isn't afraid to put his nose in. This is a guy who, as a safety, had more than 200 tackles total over the last 2 years. This is a safety. This is college. You don't play that many games. It's a safety. Anyway, I like Jonas. I think people are going to really appreciate his game the way they like, similar to how they like C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Like,
yeah.
I think his skill set is similar to that.
I was going to say,
I definitely expect him to be an early, at least standout coming, contributing on special teams.
Correct.
Would see like an initial huge role for him.
Yeah. And CJ was also, he was a fourth round pick.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it's what we talked about yesterday. And Steve, you put it perfectly that, you know, special teamers right off the bat, you're not asking the guy to come in and play a safety role immediately necessarily because you have Tyrann Mathieu and you signed Justin Reed to the big contract, right? Where he ends up fitting into Brandon Staley's scheme, it's going to be an interesting spot for him, but also that he doesn't have to play immediately. in that spot.
Got that time to develop.
Kind of learn, develop. You're not forcing them into the role. I know it's a third round pick and everyone wants to see, you know, those top 100 selections get on the field ASAP, but he is going to get on the field ASAP as a special teamer.
Also, and keep in mind, you got to cover kickoffs a lot more now.
Right.
You need guys to do
he's
that.
Going to work his way into the Saints defense.
I'd be remiss if I didn't at least mention Derek Carr during this show.
Yes.
We talked about the second round pick for the Saints
Derek Carr.
Being Tyler Shuck.
That name sounds so familiar.
Yeah,
Oh, that's the car review guy.
You know, that car review guy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the YouTube guy.
He's a big fan of Rolls Royce.
He's the YouTube guy. That's right.
$500,000, half a million on a car.
Yeah, gotcha.
For the everyday man. Yeah.
My bad. It's just been so long.
The former Raider.
Oh, yeah. He was hanging out with a former 49er. That's right. The former Raider and the former 49er.
What personality
were,
with
they
those
were in
brothers.
The car together. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah,
how could I forget?
You got it. That's my bet.
Famous YouTuber.
Well, our new head coach in Kellen Moore, he was asked, does the Shuck pick say anything about Derek Carr's future with the Saints?
We just felt like, you know, it was a really good player. Obviously, we felt good about Tyler through this process. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with ever investing in the quarterback room. We feel like there's a lot of depth in there now as we go through this process, and we'll just let it play out.
You know, it's sad. We're yucking it up over here. The situation with Derek Carr is really an unfortunate one that the organization has to deal with, but I know fans have been peeved at the quarterback. They've never really totally embraced him in his role. Coming to New Orleans, it was always looked at another cast off from the Raiders. We got Dennis Allen, and now they picked up Derek Carr, and now it appears like he's kind of put his nose up to New Orleans and the Who Dat Nation. And a lot of fans, Deuce kind of asked me yesterday at our Rouse's, you know, draft coverage, if he thinks there's any way that Carr can get back into the good graces of the Who Dat Nation. I don't think so. And the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert, though, feels winning solves everything. And I just don't think that's even the case with Carr.
Yeah, you know, I think the Saints are being very strategic in how they're choosing to not talk about this.
Just avoid it.
And Derek Carr also hasn't talked about it as well. I think they're just trying to keep their options open, right? I don't think they're trying to alienate anyone any more than they have to be. I think they're trying to figure out if he's going to have surgery or not. And once that decision is made, then you can go from there. David Carr, the former 49er who, you know, we were joking about, he did say that, you know, they're still making that decision. He thinks the injury occurred the same time he broke his hand against the Giants.
And I know you guys feel this too, but it's like, what's the wait? What are we waiting on here with the surgery that, you know, oh, I'm going to have it, so he's going to miss the entire year? Why isn't this done already?
He doesn't want to have surgery. He wants to rehab without surgery. Well, I mean, that's the idea. And so I think you're trying to figure that out. And once you figure that out, then you can make comments and decisions. And I think Tyler Shuck's going to be your starting quarterback week one of the 2025 season.
Hey-o!
But they're not going to alienate this situation any more than they need to. And that's why you see guys playing coy.
It's just ugly.
Jeff coming off the top ropes with that selection.
I mean, I don't think it's is that a bold take?
No, Bobby said the same thing when it happened.
You have the guy you took at 40 competing with the guy who was your fifth round pick last year on a different coaching staff. And like, I mean, Rattler's going to compete.
Right.
I think when people see Shuck out there, they're going to be like, okay, he's the starter.
Just hearing Kellen gush about him, yeah. It's his guy. Right. And you picked him 40th overall. I think I agree with you, Jeff. Especially, I know Loomis made the comments, if Carr's healthy, he's the starting quarterback.
Yeah, if.
Yeah, it's a big if. It's going to be
if tough. I had Jessica Alba's phone number.
Exactly. it's almost certainly going to be
I can send that to you.
Oh, thanks. We're taking a break here on our Sunday draft coverage here on WWL. Draft Fest rolls on as you get ready for Jazz Fest. It's a gorgeous day out there. Hope you're enjoying it. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL Saints Radio.
It's a terrible YouTube video.
Our draft coverage continuing. We got another hour as we get ready for LSU baseball. Game 3 against the Tennessee Volunteers. Pre-game coverage will be 1:30. First pitch, 2 o'clock. Don't forget you can stream every game live on our free Odyssey app. Go Tigers today as they try to take the rubber matchup against the Vols, not the Vols. We'll be back with more of our Draft Fest coverage. Stay tuned after the top of the hour news here on WWL Saints Radio, folks.